Can we give Jesus one more hand clap of praise? Anybody thankful for him today? Also, we have a lot of people who listen to our podcast. By the way, if you're not aware of that, on our website at christtab.com or on iTunes, you can listen to our messages every week. And there's a lot of people who listen to those who maybe are in the military or they've moved away or whatever the reason is. And I wonder if we could just give them a great big hello. Can we just clap our hands, let them know we're glad they're tuning in wherever they're at across the world. Okay, we're continuing the series we started last Sunday. And if you weren't here, it was actually last Saturday. If you weren't able to be here, I encourage you to go to the podcast and listen to it. And we're talking about Vision 2017. And this is what we want to see our church become all about, what we want the DNA of our church to be. And we brought it to four simple statements. And I wonder if everybody could help me and repeat these four statements. Can we do that right now? Know God, experience restoration, discover the future, make a difference. That's what we want everybody in this room to experience in your journey with Christ, is to know God, to experience restoration, to discover the future, and to make a difference. And last week we talked about knowing God, that it's all about knowing Jesus Christ. It's not about religion. It's not just coming to church and going through motions, but it's about knowing Jesus personally and having a real relationship with him. And this week we're going to be talking about experiencing restoration. Experiencing restoration. And to restore, when we talk about restoration, the definition of that is to bring back to an original or normal condition. We were made in God's image and God's likeness, and that was taken, a little bit of that was taken away from us in the Garden of Eden. And sin has tore away at what we were at one time, and we believe that God wants to restore every person in this room today to what they were made to be and what they were made to do. And so I want you to look at a scripture in Exodus chapter 6, verse 6. And the Lord tells the Israelites through Moses, he says, I want you to tell them, and this is before he's going to deliver them out of Egypt. He says, tell them this, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. Now that's salvation. And then he says, I will free you from bringing slaves to them. That's what we call deliverance. And he says, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. He says that I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to restore you. And, you know, it's not just enough to be saved. That's really not the final destination of our spiritual journey. It's got to be more than that. We want God to restore and God to put the pieces back together. And the shame of it is a lot of us just stop at knowing God. We're happy to just know God and to put a happy face on and go through the motions of life and not really experience the healing that God has for us. But we want everybody to go beyond just knowing God, and we want people to experience restoration. You know, one of my favorite verses in the Bible is Joel 2:25, and the Lord says this. He says, I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter. And then he says in the next verse, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never again be put to shame. I want that for every person here today. How many would like to have some years restored? How many would like to have years that you know you wasted doing the wrong things, that you were going in circles, and you look back now at the choices you made and you think, oh Lord, I was so unwise and I don't know why I did that. And you know, we can beat ourselves up and we can stay in that place, or we can choose to move forward and say, God, restore me. I believe that you have the best things for me yet. Anybody believe that the best is still yet to come for everybody in this room? I believe that. And so God is telling us that he wants to go beyond just saving us. That, you know, a lot of people think it, you know, that we come in, we go to the altar. We make the Lord our make Jesus our Lord. You know, maybe we get baptized. We experience the power of the Holy Spirit. And the shame is, you can experience all of that and still be a very broken person inside. And the very tragic thing is, a lot of people don't know that. They come to church every week. That you can put on a nice suit. You can even go the extra mile and throw on a tie. You can put on your best dress, and you can sit in a church week after week, a broken person, because you don't go beyond knowing God. There's a process of restoration that we all have to go through. And so God, he saved the Israelites from the Egyptians. He took them out with a mighty hand, and he brought them out of that tyranny, of that slavery. And they, you know, they had been there for generations. They were there for over 400 years. And he brought them through the Red Sea and delivered them completely from their past of Egypt. That speaks of salvation. And the sad thing is that everyone in that generation, except for Joshua and Caleb, died in the desert because of a problem. And that was this. Yes, they were physically taken out of Egypt, but Egypt was inside. And you can be saved, and you can have great experiences with God, but Egypt can be inside of you. As a matter of fact, I got a newsflash. It's inside all of us. That inside all of us, there's an old man that tries to raise his head up and tries to be boss, tries to be in control. And we carry baggage from Egypt when we leave. And that was the problem with the Israelites. They acquired a lot of baggage with over 400 years of being there. And all of us have baggage that comes from our past, that goes beyond us. It goes to our parents, our grandparents, the sins that maybe they committed. We come into the world, unfortunately, under the weight, under the habits, and all of the things that they gave us, we take it with us. And so the process of restoration is the process of God getting the Egypt out of us. And they were slaves in Egypt. And when we are in sin, we are enslaved to it. We're enslaved to that past. You know, a slave, when they're free, it takes a process for them to think a new way. You know, in our country, in the American South, when the slaves were set free, if you look and see, a lot of them didn't go too far. You know why? They had a slave mentality. What is a slave mentality? Well, you think a certain way, and that is you have a wrong view of yourself. When every day of your life you've been told that you're a slave, that you'll never do anything, you'll never amount to anything, and that you are just to do what you're told, you have a low view of yourself, and you're distrustful of other people. You don't trust too many people. You don't trust God. Moses had to spend a lot of time getting the Israelites just to trust God that he really wanted to deliver them. So you're distrustful of other people. And you work to belong when you're a slave. You're constantly working to prove your value. And all of that speaks of an Egyptian mindset. All of that speaks to a sinful mindset. And lastly, you have no hope for a future. You think it's always going to be this way. My grandparents were slaves. Their parents were slaves. We will always be slaves. And unfortunately, when Israel left Egypt, they took that baggage with them. And that's why they died in the desert. And that is because of this. You cannot enter into the promised land with an Egyptian mindset. You cannot enter into the restoration, the land of milk and honey that God has for you if you think like you did in Egypt. You have to think a new way. You have to believe a new way. And so I want to talk to us today about the process of restoration. And it begins with this, and that is that we are made in the image of God. That every person in here was made in God's image. And that's what separates us from a dog and a cat and a giraffe, is that we are made in God's image. We are special creatures, and we have the ability to know and communicate with him. And you know, in God, he's one being who manifests him in a triune of ways, and that is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when we are made in the image of God, we reflect that. You see, we have a body, a soul, and a spirit. We're one person, but these three parts about us are distinct, and they act in ways according to that. And so when God made us in his image, he made us as a reflection of himself. That we are made in his image with these three parts, but yet one person. And so here's what happens when we get to know God, when we experience salvation, is that he moves through our spirit. That he begins to communicate to us through our spirit. Our spirit is made whole. Here's the problem. We have two other parts about us that are at war with that spirit. Our body, which is our physical, tangible self, what you see right now, and our soul, which is our mind, our will, our emotions, basically what we want to do, is at war with our spirit, which is the part of us which directly communicates with God. And the secret to restoration is this: getting those other two parts in alignment with our spirit. Getting our bodies and our souls to say, we're going to submit to the Spirit. We're going to submit to what God wants to do. So how do we get to that place of restoration? I want to give us kind of four steps that I've come up with. Number one is we have to get victory over sin. We have to get victory over sin. And you know what? We believe in grace. That, you know what? Nobody is going to bat a thousand after we get saved. If you're here, you are completely perfect since you've been saved, please let us meet you and let us worship you. Because you are obviously a reincarnation of Jesus, right? But at the same time, we have to get victory over sin. That we can't let sin, and we can't stay where we're at. We got to keep moving towards the land of milk and honey that God has for us. And that comes through complete restoration and complete deliverance over sin in our life. And I'm talking about habits, I'm talking about addictions, I'm talking about ways of thinking, I'm talking about actions that we do over and over again. And you know, here's the good news. The greatest apostle in Christianity struggled with the same thing. The greatest apostle who wrote most of our New Testament, he had the same battles of restoration. And you see, he had a past. Matter of fact, he actually was responsible for the deaths of many of the first Christians. And can you imagine the voices he heard at night? Can you imagine the doubt that tried to creep in about God's grace? Can you imagine the brokenness he had inside? And so he had this same battle, but he was able to be completely restored. And he shows us, and I'm going to read some scripture here, but I want you to pay attention. And he says in Romans chapter 7, he says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. Does anybody relate to that? That you do what you don't want to do? And he says, if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good as it is. It is no longer I myself who do it, but the sin that's living inside of me. You know what he's saying? He's saying it's that old Egyptian man rises its head up and takes over. It's that sin of the past that it rises up in me. He says, for I know that good itself does not dwell in me. That is my sinful nature. In other words, that Egyptian person, that Egyptian nature rises up and I know it's not good. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. I know what I'm doing is wrong. I know that I should do God's will, but I can't carry it out. I'm incapable of doing it. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin that is living in me that does it. In other words, it's that Egyptian past that does it. It's not the spirit man that God has resurrected inside of me, that God has healed. He says, so I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. Oh, can I get a good amen? Can anybody relate to that? That old person, it's just like it stays right here on your shoulder. Saying, you know you want to look at that. You know you want to go there. You know you want to talk to them. And you just want to tell them to be quiet. Well, guess what? The Apostle Paul, don't condemn yourself. He had the same issue. And then this is what he said. Although I want to do good, evil's right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. In other words, he's saying, in my spirit, I want to do what's right. And I love God, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. Then he says this, "What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death?" Now there's a little gem here in this verse, and that is this, that in the Roman world, they had a method of execution where the person that, if you were a murderer, the person that you murdered, their corpse would be placed upon your back, and it would be strapped and tied to your back until it rotted to the point that it would seep inside of you, and the very thing you killed would kill you. And that's what Satan is wanting to do in our lives. That's what Paul says, this wretched man. He says, this old Egyptian person that I thought was gone, it still rises up. And he says, if we're not careful, it will end up killing us. It will rot back into who we are today. And he says, what hope do I have? How do I get rid of this person? He says, thanks be to God who, what? Delivers. Does anybody believe that God still delivers? That you can be delivered of sin? Delivers me through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we'll just stop there. But I want to tell you today, there's hope for you. You don't have to stay in sin. You don't have to stay in habits. You don't have to stay in addiction. There's hope in Jesus Christ today. Can we give God a praise? And then in the next chapter, Paul shows us how we overcome this, how we get restored. And he says, therefore, brothers and sisters, and in chapter 8, he says, we have no obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. In other words, he says, don't let that old Egyptian slave person take over. Don't live in the flesh. He says, for if you live according to the flesh, you're going to die. You're going to die. If you let that sin continually guide you, continually guide your decisions, you're going to die. He says, if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you what? Slaves. What does addictions, what do they make out of you? A slave. You do what they want you to do. What do bad habits do? They make you a slave. And I want to warn young people, you need to know at an early age, and you need to trust God when he says that sin is bad for you, because he knows those things will make you a slave, that you can get so bound to alcohol and to drugs and illicit sex that you can't even do what you want to do because you've become a slave to that thing. But when you walk in the Spirit of God, when you every day you get up and you pray and you say, God, show me my steps today. God, speak to me, Lord. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would empower me to do which that I cannot do on my own. I want to tell you that something supernaturally occurs and you can have victory over sin in your life. Does anybody know and has anybody experienced that? Can we give God praise today? So what a shame if we know God, if we know who he is, but we don't let him completely deliver us and restore us from our past. I want to talk to us today. You see, you can show up and you can look real good. And you can let everybody think that you don't have any issues. I have a news flash for you. You have issues. In case no one's ever told you, you have issues. I'm going to stand. I have issues. And I'm not just using that as a good sermon illustration. I have issues. If you don't trust me, talk to Danielle for 5 minutes. If you need persuaded, I have issues. I'm not perfect. I have an Egyptian past that creeps up and tries to tell me about insecurities and tries to tell me about past sins and things that I haven't done right. And I want to encourage you today, deal with those things. Deal with those addictions. What's an addiction? Well, an addiction is this. It's anything that we don't want to do, but we keep doing. You know, the definition of insanity, doing the same thing, getting the same results over and over. And so what are the things in your life that have control over you? What are the things in your life that have become a part of your identity that you do them to the point that you don't even think about it? And you can identify your addictions by this, and that is how you seek to protect them. If anybody tries to touch them, if anybody says, no, you can't do that, and something rises up in you and says, I'll do what I want, and you can't tell me what to do, who do you think you are? That's probably your addiction. That's probably what you're bound to. And you can be a good spirit-filled person and still be addicted. Amen? You can be a good church person. You can be a good mom and dad. You can be a good Christian and still have a lot of addictions and habits and problems, hang-ups in your life. And we have a wonderful ministry in this church that deals with that. And it's called Celebrate Recovery. We've got any CR people here today? And I'm going to be bold here for a second, and it drives me nuts because I think some people think, well, that's just for people with drug problems. It's for those people. You know, they've done crack cocaine, and God only knows. Make sure you don't bring your kids, because God only knows what will happen. Guess what? It's for people that have been saved for 10 years. Who wear suits to church every week, who have hair piled up, but have a whole bunch of mess inside that they've never dealt with. And sorry, I might be a young pastor, but I've seen too much to know it's true. And you can fool everybody around you, but you don't fool God. And most importantly, you don't fool yourself. You know it's true. And it's going to take courage to say, I need help. I want restoration. And when you take that step, I want to tell you, God will take that step with you. God will do things in you. I don't know what kind of character I tapped into there, but I went Saturday Night Live there for a second. But I want to encourage you to do this because the enemy wants to rob you of a joyful, courageous, power-filled life. And he does that with sin and he does that with addictions. But I believe that we can have power over sin in our life. And here's the thing is that we are all in the battle together. There's no judgment. There's no condemnation. Because once we're in Christ, we're a new creature. We have a new future. Amen. Can we praise God? All right, second thing, we need healing from our past wounds. We need healing from our past wounds. We can be saved but still be bitter over things that happened 20 years ago. Be messed up about things that happened in our childhood. And wounds are this, that is things that other people do to us. Has anybody ever been hurt? If you don't have your hand up, let me punch you in the face and then you can say you have. We'll give you a reason. Better yet, just stick around church long enough. I promise you, 100% money back guaranteed, somebody will hurt you within the first year. You know why? Because we're people. We're people. And a lot of times people hurt us unintentionally. Sometimes people hurt us intentionally. But it doesn't really matter, does it? We're hurt. And so these things can leave an imprint on us and keep us from reaching what God has for us. Ephesians 4:26-27 says, "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold." I like the way the message says it, and that is this. Go ahead and be angry. All right? First of all, let's just stop there. It's okay to be angry. We just can't stay there. And it continues, says, "You do well to be angry, but don't use your anger as fuel for your revenge. And don't stay angry. Don't go to bed angry. Don't give the devil that kind of foothold in your life." And some of us, we've given the devil a foothold in our life because we're mad about stuff that happened in our childhood. We're mad at our ex-spouse. We're mad at, you know, our ex-boss. It doesn't matter who it is. That when you let that seep in your spirit, you know, the word says, be angry. There's times where we can be angry about things that have hurt us. But there also comes a time where we say, you know what, I'm going to get over it. I'm going to get healing. I'm going to get restoration. I'm not going to let that thing define me one more day in my life. And it's really sad to meet really good people, but you just kind of feel they're on edge and they're just ready to pounce. Why? Because somebody hurt them. And you shouldn't take it personally when they hurt you. It probably goes back to somebody hurt them. And don't give the devil that kind of foothold. You got to get over those wounds through the help of Jesus Christ. And the way we do that is forgiveness. Forgiveness. You see, you know what unforgiveness is? It's that old Egyptian person. It's that old Egyptian person that wants to keep you in slavery. And the only thing bitterness does, it doesn't do anything to that other person. It only keeps you bound. It only keeps you where you're at. And God won't give you the victories you need because you can't get there because you don't have the mentality to have that kind of victory because you keep going back to the past. The past hurts. Jesus can heal past hurts today. Jesus can heal past hurts, and we can have a great new future in Jesus Christ that's filled with healing and hope. Number three, the third thing we need is instruction and wisdom. You know, Hosea said this, the word of the Lord speaking through him, he says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." You know what? That's why I love financial peace. Do we have any financial peace class participants here? Why don't you give a woo or something? A shout? Right. And that's another piece of restoration. Another way that we want people to have restoration, and that we want people to be financially restored. You know why? Because a lot of times, a lot of the chaos in our life is caused because we haven't taken care of our finances, and we want to give to God, but we can't because of past bad decisions. And so through that class, we're given instruction and wisdom. And through other classes that we have here on Sunday, we're giving instruction and wisdom because a lot of us, we don't know where we went wrong. We don't know what to do to please God. And so when we know what God wants and we know God's principles, it can completely change our life because a lot of the decisions we've made that got us to this point were just because of ignorance. A lot of us weren't taught the word of God. A lot of us weren't modeled how to be a good father. A lot of us weren't modeled how to be financially responsible. And so we're going to get some knowledge to show us how to do better and how to please God. And I want to tell you that when you build your life upon the principles of God's word, it will change every part of your life. Anybody believe that? That the Bible speaks to every part of our life. Then point number four, we need to take authority over the enemy. And if you're going to have restoration, if you're going to have deliverance in your life, you're going to have to take spiritual authority over the enemy. That we are the sons and daughters of God. And that Egyptian person is not our identity. That Egyptian taskmaster no longer has any power over us because we have been saved and we are brought under a new lordship of Jesus Christ. Anybody believe that? So you have to take authority over the enemy by the power of the name of Jesus. And when that old person tries to rise up and tries to bring its own securities, you can say, "No, Satan, I was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. I made him the Lord of my life. I have a new taskmaster. I have a new voice in my life." And you could tell him, "Get behind me." Amen? You could tell him to be quiet. Why? Because you have spiritual power through the name of Jesus. Ephesians 6, chapter 10, Paul says this, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places." Here's the thing. You have an enemy against your soul. See, you may think that the person that hurt you had it out for you. The truth is, there was a spirit behind them. There was a spirit that was behind the attack upon you. That every day of your life, we have to put on the whole armor of God. Why? Because we have a spiritual enemy that wants to destroy us and wants to destroy our family. And this is for real. This isn't just science fiction. This is real. That you have an enemy that wants you to be bound in drugs. You have an enemy that wants your whole family to be bound to that addiction, wants it to go down to the kids and the grandkids and successive generations. But it takes one person to rise up in the strength of the Lord and say, "Not here, not any longer. I'm rising up in the name of Jesus and giving the devil notice, get out of my house, get out of my family, get out of my future." You have to fight. You have to fight. You're not going to overcome those demons of your past playing patsy with the devil. You have to pray. You have to wake up every day with that game face on. Why? Because he's just looking for any excuse. What does 1 Peter 5:8 say? "Be sober-minded, be watchful, for your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And you could say, devil, you might seek for someone to devour, but it's not going to be me. Because I plead the blood of Jesus over my life, over my mind. I'm going to wake up today and I'm going to stay focused on what's important. I'm not going to let the devil distract me and try to bring up my past and try to get me to go back to that old, sneaky, rotten self. I'm going to rise up in the new person and the new man. Anybody believe that God wants to restore us? So here's the deal. Here's how we get those things at work in our life. You see, and I believe that prayer is powerful. We just talked about prayer, but it's just one of our weapons. And for so long in the church, for people who had problems or who at least admitted their problems, as we just said, well, just go to the altar and pray about it. And we'll get a circle around you and we'll pray. And if we pray loud enough and long enough, God will give you the victory. And here's the thing, that is essential. We do need that, but it's going to take more than that. And here is God's path to restoration for us, and that is this: relationships and community. Relationships and community. That's why you need to be in church. That's why you need to be in small groups. That's why you need to be a part of Celebrate Recovery. That's why you need to find somebody that you can be accountable to help you overcome those things. You know, the importance of community is this, is that you are incapable of winning this battle on your own. You are incapable of doing this on your own. And if you walk out of here today and you say, wow, Pastor Jeremy preached a great message and I'm going to listen to my podcast, that's all great. But you need to be in a relationship with somebody that will hold you accountable. Here's what Ecclesiastes 4:12 says. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. In other words, what he's saying is one person, if you're going to try to fight the devil and fight hell with your little squirt gun, you're going to be overpowered. But if you get two people praying with you, he says that's powerful. Why? Because three is better than one. Because you need support. And that's true of me. And that's true of you. And the reason we fight that is we have pride. We want to overcome this on our own. We want to, this is my problem. I got myself into this mess. I'll get myself out. It doesn't work that way. You need to have community in your life. You know, when we confess our sin to God, and that heals our past. But we confess our sin to other people, and that heals our future. James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be what? Just, I think we can replace that last word, healed, with restored. Restored. You need somebody in your life who you can be accountable to, who you can confess things to. You know why? Because I found that if I have to look that person in the eye and they ask me about a certain area of my life, I find it a whole lot more difficult to lie and to hide it. Because we're really good at lying to ourselves, aren't we? Right? It's not that big of a deal. It's not that big of a problem. I'll manage it. You cannot manage sin. You need help. So confessing to God takes care of the past, but confessing to each other takes care of our future. And here's the thing. This is the most difficult part of the journey. And I find this to be very, very rare in the church. We like to confess to God because he's not going to tell anybody. But we have to trust other people and let them in so that the work of restoration can begin and that they can hold us accountable and we can strengthen one another. And so when we confess our hurt, our sin, our hurts, and our battles, our addictions to someone else, it's a very powerful spiritual moment that takes place in our life. And a lot of you are praying for a breakthrough. And I want to tell you, one of the best ways to get a breakthrough is to talk to somebody else about the battle you're going through. Because when you do that, it's a signal to God that I'm serious about changing. I'm serious about restoration. I'm serious about completely leaving this entrapment. And so the sin and the addictions that we face today, you know, that's not our real problem, is it? You know what the real problem is idolatry. And that is we worship those things. And whatever's Lord of your life, we talked about this last week, whatever's Lord of your life, you'll check with them first before you do it. I want to ask you, what's Lord of your life? Is that hidden addiction? Is that Lord of your life? Do you have to get permission from it before you do anything? That hidden sin in your life, is that really what's controlling your life? Or is Jesus Lord of your life? And I want to just challenge you, some of you today, you need to make a courageous step. And you need to find somebody to talk to. For some of us, it might be a counselor. For some of us, it might be joining Celebrate Recovery. For some of us, it might just be a couple people that we've grown with in the church and we trust and we love them. And we begin to tell them, hey, I need help. I need you to pray for me in this area of my life. I need you to check with me with this area of my life. And that's true for everybody in this room today. But I want to tell you, God wants to restore. And if you're here today and you know deep down inside your heart that what I said is true, is that you've left Egypt, you've been baptized, but Egypt hasn't left you. I want to tell you there's hope. And you don't have to live there one more day. You don't have to just resign yourself to the fact that this is the way I'm going to live the rest of my life. You can be completely delivered from sin. Can we all stand right now? We're going to sing one more song here in a minute. And it all starts with making Jesus Lord of your life. It all starts right here with community, with church. And if you're here today and you need prayer, I want to invite you to come forward. There's nothing wrong with asking someone to pray for. How many knows that everybody has needed prayer at one time or another? So we're going to pray, and then we're going to sing one more song. And I want to tell you, if you have sin in your life that you need to repent of, that's the first step. You have to hate sin. You have to hate that Egyptian nature. You have to say, God, I'm turning it over to you, God. There's some things in my life I haven't dealt with that I know are wrong. God, I've been coming to church for 30 years, and I still haven't been victorious over this area of your life. I want to tell you, there's hope. There's a way, but it all starts with being honest to God, and then we need to be honest with other people. So I wonder if we could close our eyes all over this place. Every eye closed, every head bowed. And I'm going to ask that you raise your hand when I ask this question, because I believe that God responds to faith. And I'm just going to ask a question. If there's anybody here today that you have a battle that you are losing, you're not winning, and you need prayer, why don't you just raise that hand? Raise that hand on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You can put those hands down. I believe God saw those hands. I'm not going to remember everybody that raised their hand, and I'm glad I'm not, because I believe God saw those hands. We're going to pray, and after we pray, we're going to sing a song, and I wonder, everybody raise their hand up. I just want to challenge you, come to this altar. It's where it all starts. Lord, I pray, Jesus, for every person, God, that's fighting addictions, God, that's fighting chains, God, of bad habits, Lord, that's fighting, Lord, years of bondage, Lord, that goes back to parents and grandparents, God. I pray, Jesus, Lord, give them victory starting today, Lord. And I pray you would give them the courage, Lord, to find somebody, Lord, to confide to, Lord, who will fight along beside them, Jesus. Lord, I pray that every person in this place, God, would experience restoration in their life, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.